Welcome back to Rosie on the House. If you're just joining us, we have a special guest in studio, Major Thacker, Public Affairs Officer for the Arizona National Guard, and talking about the American flag for this Memorial Day weekend.
Can I tell a quick Memorial Day story?
Absolutely.
So, you know, driving out here, one of the things I noticed is that I passed Piestewa Peak. You know, she was someone who gave us the ultimate sacrifice for the state of Arizona. And when you think about what's happening right now in this COVID environment with Navajo Nation and everything, it really reminds you of why Memorial Day is important, because of sacrifices like Piestewa. And another little fact is, did you know that in Arizona, when a soldier may be stationed in Georgia or who dies overseas, but they're from Arizona, when you go to give that notification to next of kin, it's usually an Arizona National Guardman doing it. We cover the majority of the state for all fallen soldiers. Mm. And when I was enlisted, I had the honor of doing it. It's probably the hardest job I've ever done, but it's also probably the most honorable. And mine was for, sorry, I get a little choked up when I think about it, but PFC Barbara Vieira, her family, they live out in Mesa. And what was really interesting about that is she was truly the American dream. Her parents were immigrants to this country. And she just wanted something better for her life and for her daughter. She joined the military. She went to Afghanistan, where she lost her life. But, you know, it's days like Memorial Day where we think about that and these sacrifices of our fellow citizens.
And you just told her story, and we assume that, you know, everyone knows the story of Piestewa, but, you know,
that's a huge
20
story.
Years ago. I mean, there's people in Arizona that probably have no idea. So do you want to share her story?
I can share what I know of Laura Piestewa. I know that she was Native American. I think she was the first Native American female to fall in combat for this country. I know that she was on a mission in Iraq where the unit had gotten lost. The other woman who actually survived that, Jessica Lynch, she received several injuries in that situation. You know, it's funny when we talk about honoring people in combat, oftentimes we think about that special forces guy or that Navy SEAL. But what most people don't realize is that in Iraq at that time, the most vulnerable, we call them MOSs, military occupations, was a truck driver. They faced more threat than anyone because they had to travel and commute on those roads. And so, and that's where they came from, I think, was a logistics unit. And so when they were caught in that ambush and they put up that fight, it was pretty incredible. And people like her lost their lives.
Major Thacker, Public Affairs Officer for the Arizona National Guard, and talking about the American flag for this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for your time this morning, sir.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Get that flag flying Memorial Day weekend. And I'll tell you what, it's that time of year. Memorial Day is kind of the official start of summer. And I think all of you that got stuck trying to leave town yesterday are now aware of that. You're going up to Yavapai County, going up to Coconino County, getting out of the valley, going to go open that house for the summer. I understand I-17 was gridlocked from Black Canyon City to Anthem. The turn in Payson to turn right at 260 was 1 hour wait.
So things are back to normal.
Was that an accident?
No. That was just
traffic.
Memorial Day traffic heading out of the valley up to places like Prescott, where I'd like to go right now and bring in a good friend of mine, Mr. Tom Riley of Renovations. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Rosie. Good morning, Romy.
Did you feel the traffic crush hit y'all last night?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I live downtown Prescott, and it was great.
Oh, good. Oh,
and before I forget, Major Thacker, thank you for your service.
Yes, absolutely. And Prescott's open for business.
He just stepped out of the studio, but we'll make sure he got that, Tom. Oh. Thank you.
Yes, Prescott is open for business. And, you know, it's really kind of nice to see everything coming back. The restaurants are open. They're going to start opening up movie theaters here in another week and, you know, entertainment venues, things like that.
Yes.
And it's coming back. I mean, there's the bars are open and, you know, everybody's being smart about it. You know, there's no real cavalier attitude towards it. Everybody's taking this whole COVID-19 thing seriously enough, but still, you know, we're getting back to normal. And, it's kind of nice.
Well, folks, I had to reach out to Tom because the number one inquiry we got at Rosie on the House this past week is, how do I clean and remove mold from my composite deck? And we just don't have that many of those in Pima County or Maricopa County or Gila County. Well, a few in Gila County, but in Pinal County. So I thought, well, I know Tom will know because they do a bunch of decks. They do a bunch of composites decks up in Yavapai and Coconino County. So, Tom, are y'all putting wood decks in, real wood decks in anymore?
No.
Really?
I don't think we've done a wood deck in five to eight, maybe even 10 years.
Yeah, see, we haven't poured a concrete slab for a patio or a driveway in about the same amount of time. Down here, everything's gone to pavers, which it should. So everything has gone to the composite deck. Actually, a great material.
That is a good material. It's, you know, it's kind of like the best of both worlds. It's both typically it's recycled plastic with recycled wood scraps, and that's pretty much what most of the composites are made of. One of the things that people can do when they put down a composite deck is they can buy a deck. It pays a little bit more money, but it's called a capped board. And basically, by capping a board, what it is, it's a protective outer layer around the wood plastic core. And that has ingredients in some deck material. There are ingredients included in that to fight off mold and mildew, you know, and things like that. So, you know, that's one of the things that you want to do. You pay a little bit more for it, but boy, oh boy, it sure is worth it in terms of long-term longevity and as well as maintenance.
Well, I tell you what kills me is the people that build their summer little weekend mountain getaway in such a way that every time they go up there, they've got to be doing some maintenance on it. Baby, this is the product for getting the deck built. And just get up there and enjoy it. You don't have to work on it.
Hire us. We'll work on it for you.
Yeah, there you go. Hire renovations. Now, what's your concept of power washing? I would think with a composite deck, power washing would be an awful easy way just to get her done.
Well, there's two schools of thought on that. And, you know, and I think it depends upon the severity of the infestation on it, you know, and what you're doing and how you end up power washing. You know, if you use like 125 PSI power wash, you know, 2 inches from the board, I don't think that that's smart. I think if you use, you know, something less than that, you know, like maybe the force of a good hose, you know, good water pressure would probably do it. The different schools of thought on that. And number one, if you have mold and mildew and you want to use a power washer to get it off of there, one school of thought says that, well, all you're really doing is taking off the surface and you're driving those spores back down deeper into the product itself.
Hey.
And then there's another one that says, well, no, this cleans out pretty well and you should use this stuff. And then there's the third school of thought, which says, you know, get a good chemical in there that will clean that stuff off and some elbow grease and scrub it, and you'll get rid of it, and it'll stay gone for a good long time if you do it right.
Now, I would imagine you've got to be careful of the chemicals you use for the change in coloration it could cause on the deck, because most of these composites now come with an embossed wood grain. Some are even photographed to the point where they really do look pretty authentic.
Yeah, they look good, pretty authentic.
But you've got to be careful. What would y'all install one, Tom? Do y'all generally seal it before you leave, or is it good to go right as the product?
It's usually good to go as soon as you walk away from it. There's a couple of products that are out there that I'll be dadgummed if I can pronounce these chemical names.
Yeah, right, right.
But the only one I could pronounce is sodium hypochlorite. That was the stretch for me, but I got it. Basically, there's a couple of different products that are out there that are safe to use. They're safe around animals. They're safe for the environment. And they're designed to specifically target mold and mildew. And they're specifically designed for outdoors.
Fantastic. Tom, how has renovations made it through the COVID chaos?
Well, we've had some slowdown. The slowdown from scheduling comes from a variety of different reasons. One, we're very careful with how many people we have on a job site at any time. We're trying to keep social distancing, you know, so if you have an electrician, a plumber, and six carpenters on the job, that's not great. So basically what we try to do is our schedules for a project that would normally take 30 days is now taking 45 days. simply because we're spacing things out a little bit differently.
Okay.
We've also had some clients that have said, we really want to wait till this thing is over before we move forward. We don't want anybody in our house. They tend to be elderly couples, over 65, and I'm elderly, and we respect that. And so, we've had a little bit of a slowdown and things like that, but we're popping back right now. We've had a surprising number of people that have called and want to set appointments out for, a week out, 2 weeks out, those kinds of things.
Well,
as things start to open up a little bit.
I'm almost scared to ask you this question but I'm curious. I'll have to tell you, of the last 10 or 15 leads that we've taken in the Valley at Rosie Remodeling, over half those leads were people who had recently moved from or are going to move from in the very near future our neighboring state of California.
Prescott's
been a landing spot for Californians for a lot of years.
I know that some of our clients that we've got are, we have one, two, three or four good-sized projects right now, and they're all California transplants.
Isn't that something else?
Well, it's a great state to be from.
It is a great state to be from. That's true. And they tell me that right now, and I'm curious if you're seeing this in Prescott. I mean, another big push of phone calls we're getting, it had been really big 3 years ago, and then it kind of quieted down. But now everybody is interested in more stay-at-home, health-conscious, hibernating, habitat, office conversions, but aging in place. My mom's a perfect example. I mean, she's 90 years old, and we had her one pinstroke away from signing the listing agreement to put her big house up for sale, and this hit, and she's tore that thing up. She says, there's no way you're going to get me in some facility that has to bring me a brown bag lunch into my closed room three times a day. I've got this big yard. I've got, I can walk around. And, where she wasn't even going to paint the house before. I think now we can talk to her, let's get the house painted. But aging in place seems to be a big, big push right now. And I think it's going to be a big push for a long time.
You could be right. We're not seeing so much of that up here. One of the things we're seeing up here, which is kind of new for this year for us, and I think that, people staying at home and thinking about themselves and family have caused it. Most folks who have second homes up here, a good many of those homes have been in the family for generations. And we're starting to see the current occupants, the folks that are, empty nesters and everybody's gone. They're thinking about what happens with this cabin when we're no longer coming up there anymore. And so we have generations that are starting to meet together. They meet up at the cabin and they sit down and they start talking about, do you want to keep this cabin? Well, and the next generation does. Then they start looking at doing the different things that they need to do, like fixing maybe some foundations, because not all these cabins were built really, really carefully.
Well, hang tight.
A lot of six-pack and fraternity brothers back in the 50s, that's for sure. When we get back, we'll continue our conversation with Tom of Renovations and wrap up this particular hour, leading into our solar hour starting at 10 o'clock. Y'all hang on.